Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
I was just looking for whoever it was that the Lord was going to direct me towards, right? Whoever he was going to bring into my path, so to speak. And I shared the gospel with them. Did he ever take breaks? Of course he did. Of course he did. Should you take breaks? Yes. Rest. Okay? You can't read through the gospels and not see that Jesus placed emphasis on resting. Okay? Getting away. He would get away from all the busyness and the madness.
In today's message, Pastor James will encourage you to ensure that you have seasons of rest in your life. In our modern culture, the pace of life is near breakneck speed, and there's always something to do, someone to see, or work to be done. But that kind of restless busyness doesn't produce a joyous life. The greatest role model in Christianity is Jesus himself. All Christians want to be more like Jesus. But Jesus rested often, and when he did, he rested by spending time with his Father, in prayer and in the Word. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Acts chapter 17 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
Acts 17, Paul in Athens. I don't know about you guys, but I have this habit when I travel. I don't care where it is. It could be somewhere where I was born, Amarillo, Texas. Or it could be a brand new place. I have to go out and explore. I have to. It's in my DNA. It doesn't matter if I've never been to this place. It doesn't matter that I don't know where I'm going or anything like that. I have to get out and I have to see this city that I'm in. I have to. There's just something that happens with inside of me. A few years ago, we went up to Boise, Idaho, because my in-laws live there. Shout out to my in-laws and the rest of the family. But so we went up there, and I've never been to Boise. I've never been that far north in this country, in Northwest. And so as soon as we got there, I mean, I was itching. I'm like, I gotta go. I gotta go see this. I gotta go explore. I mean, it's just what I do. So Nellie and the kids, you know, they sleep in. They're on vacation time. For most of them, is just like, well, we're sleeping in. Like, we're going to sleep in extra and all, which is beautiful. It's perfect for them. I don't do that. I do not have that mode, okay? I don't have sleep-in mode. I get up at 6:30. I don't care where I'm at. 6 or 6:30. I get up at that time all the time. And then so when I'm in another state and I don't have to go to work, I'm like, okay, so what can I go do? I got to go do something. I can't be inside because I'm not a homebody. I just can't stay inside. So when I go to Boise, I go cruising around and I make new friends. That's what I do. I make new friends, especially with people at coffee shops. And I go and I'll go to the same place. By the end of the week, I've made friends and, you know, all this good stuff. And I have punch cards and I give it to my family members. I'm like, look, I've already earned you a free drink. Just take this there and talk to so-and-so. They will get you your free drink. And they're like, you don't even live here, right? It's just who I am. It's how I am. Today, we get to look at the Apostle Paul in Athens, and this is kind of how he was as well. He's there. He's waiting for Timothy and Silas, and as he's waiting for those guys, he has to go exploring. And my goodness, it's Athens. It's Athens, one of the most prominent cities in our world's history. Okay, now, 100 years prior to the story, I mean, it was really booming. But even at this day, I mean, Paul's like, I gotta go check out Athens, right? He's got his little city guide, right? And he's walking around, he's taking pictures and selfies in front of all the statues and all this good stuff. This is what we find with Paul. However, Paul is not a tourist. He's not a vacationer. He got to enjoy the city, but he was on mission, okay? And that's one of those mindsets and those modes that we need to learn to shift into, so to speak. Go visit some beautiful place. Enjoy it, the sights, the sounds, and the beauty and the creative just power of God. But also remember, you might be there as part of a mission trip. Maybe God has allowed you to go take this really sweet vacation because he wants to use you there to talk about Jesus. Okay, so never take a vacation on Jesus. Never, okay? Never take a vacation on Jesus. As a Christian, from the start to the finish, you're on a mission, okay? You get to enjoy vacation. You should take more holidays. Our people across the pond, our friends across the pond have this thing right. They take a lot of holidays, okay? We should do that as well. But on our, in our holidays, our vacations, don't take time off from Jesus, right? That don't do that. Don't be like, well, I just, you know, maybe I won't go to church. I go to church every Sunday. I'm on vacation. No, go to church. Go to church. Meet some new people. Share the gospel with some new people. Learn from the Apostle Paul. So let's look at verse 16. That's where we pick up. We already covered the first half of chapter 17 with Paul in Thessalonica, and then in Berea. So now he got chased out of Berea, and he is landed at the, you know, the city, what's that, those little city signs, you know, now entering Athens, right? Population, I don't know. But this is where Paul is. Verse 16, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, Timothy and Silas, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. Okay, so here he is. There's the Apostle Paul. He's into this like most famous city, and his spirit was provoked within him, is what this is saying. Okay, so he's cruising around the city, seeing the sights and the sounds, and it's like an idol for this, an idol for that, an idol for this, and I mean everything, idols covering everything, and this is what provoked, you know, his spirit to preach, to share the gospel. Seeing that it's full of idols, he was compelled to preach. Or the other way to translate that is seeing that it was swamped with idols. Swamped with idols. Like they're everywhere. I mean, the idol for, I mean, you name it, and there's an idol for it, okay? They really wanted to make sure they had their backs covered, okay? So we want to make sure the idol of, you know, a god of rain, we want to make sure that we set up an idol for the god of rain because we really want rain. And, well, we got to make sure that we also have a god of crops. So because we need crops, so we're going to build an idol as a, you know, this memorial type thing for this god. And then, oh, yeah, we should probably do this. And then don't forget this one and this one and this one. I mean, so many. So as Paul's cruising around the city, he sees all these idols, and he's provoked within his spirit to share the gospel, to just share the gospel. And again, that this is what I'm talking about, this mode that you and I need to get into. We need to find that groove and settle within that groove, okay? Not a rut, but it's a groove to where wherever you go, you're aware of your surroundings. You know what's going on within the city. Where you're at, it doesn't matter if the city where you live, now it should be with the city where we live, but even if you're on vacation or you're visiting some other town, that you're watching, you're observing how these people live their lives. This is what Paul is doing. And it says, verse 17, he went to the synagogue to debate with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public square to all who happened to be there, okay, or in the marketplace. So he's doing what he always does. There's a synagogue that's there. So he goes to the synagogue and he has a debate with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles. Okay? Debates are good. Debates are not bad. Debates are not wrong. Arguments are unproductive. Okay? I'll say that. Arguments don't really get you anywhere. Debates, good, healthy. You say something, it's like a tennis match, right? You serve the ball, you volley the ball over to them, and hopefully they hit it back, and then you hit it back, and then they hit it back, and this is debating. It's healthy. And when it's done respectfully, there can be great results from that. Arguing is like taking that tennis ball machine that fires those things out and firing it at somebody, okay? Like trying to destroy them. No, we don't need arguments. We need debates. We need conversation, healthy conversation. This is what Paul was doing in the synagogues. So he's talking to these Jews and these devout persons, these religious people, so to speak. And anybody in the public square or anybody in the marketplace who just happened to be there, right? That was Paul's MO. He's like, he goes to the marketplace and so shows up and he's like, oh, so you just happened to be here. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. right? Like, that's just what he did. And it's there's no coincidence as to who God was bringing to these marketplaces when they were showing up there. The key to it is this. Paul was ready for them. He was ready for them. He didn't say, like, you know, I'm in Athens. You know, this is my second missionary journey. I've already encountered so much hardship. Yeah, I think I'm just going to take some time off. I need some me time. I need some me time, and you know, I'm just going to go find a nice little spot on the Mediterranean Sea there, and you know, just me. Right? He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He went to Athens and he says, "All right, I checked out the city. I became familiar with my surroundings." And I went to the synagogues, I talked to those people, and then I went into the marketplaces, and I was just looking for whoever it was that the Lord was going to direct me towards, right? Whoever he was going to bring into my path, so to speak. And I shared the gospel with them. Did he ever take breaks? Of course he did. Of course he did. Should you take breaks? Yes. Rest. Okay? You can't read through the gospels and not see that Jesus placed emphasis on resting. Okay? Getting away. He would get away from all the busyness and the madness. But what was his rest? His rest was spending time with the Father. That's what his rest was. Get alone so he could pray. Early in the morning, he would get away. So we know that Paul did the same thing, but on this missionary trip in this really cool city, I'm sure it was an incredible experience, but he's like, I'm here for a reason. I'm not going to pass up this opportunity. I may not ever go back to Athens. And more than likely, he didn't. So he's gonna be purposeful. And everywhere he went, he was going to be probably praying like, okay, Lord, who do you want me to speak to? Who do you want me to speak to? So he's going there in the marketplace every day, and he encounters two different groups of individuals, okay? It says here, verse 18, he also had a debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. Now, you need to understand, Athens was an intellectual, like, hub, okay? Like, the brightest were hanging out in Athens, all right? Even after its glory days, 100 years after its glory days, quote unquote, this is where the intellectual elite would still hang out. So you got the Epicureans and the Stoics. Wrote down some stuff concerning both of these groups. The Epicureans, their chief purpose of life was pleasure. Okay, the purpose of living was to indulge yourself in pleasure. So kind of hedonistic in one sense. You know, just going full into whatever gives you pleasure, whether it's food or drink, relationships. The purpose of your existence on this planet is to find pleasure in whatever that is for you. They most valued a peaceful life, free from pain, fear, and especially the fear of death. Okay, these guys didn't like thinking about death. They didn't like pain, okay? So they were going to try to do, and it, let's assume pain happens within their lives. You get a little migraine, you get a little headache. Well, if you're an Epicurean, you're going to do whatever it takes to numb that pain. So maybe that's a drink, maybe that's a substance, because you have to maintain this lifestyle of pleasure. Well, natural life says pain is a part of life. Pain is a part of it for everybody. It doesn't matter what your philosophical stance is. Nobody's exempt from pain. Nobody's exempt from dying. It's going to happen, okay? There's two people that it didn't happen to. One's name is Enoch. The other one was Elijah. We are not, none of us are neither one of those guys, okay? And unless the rapture happens, we're all going to taste death. Nothing to be afraid of, though, for believers. Nothing to be afraid of. These Epicureans, they feared death. They did not deny the existence of God, but believed that these gods, whomever they may be, had nothing to do with them, okay? So they believe that, yeah, there's gods out there, but as far as their interaction with human beings, you know, they don't really interact with us. Okay. That's the Epicureans. Their main guy was Epicurus. That was his name. Not that that matters. But they were all students of his. The Stoics. This is one I could probably relate to more so than the Epicureans in one sense. Not because of what I'm going to read to you, but kind of, okay? They're pantheists, okay? They believe, God's like in all things, okay? They put great emphasis on moral sincerity and had a high sense of duty, a proud dignity about them. And here was their philosophy on death. If your life was pretty, wasn't going so great in one sense, they thought it was honorable to just take your own life. The honorable way out was to commit suicide for the Stoics. Like, if your life is just unworthy, you're not living up to whatever and all this good stuff, and, it's just in the dumps, so to speak, the honorable thing to do would be to take yourself out, which is a terrible mindset to have, okay? Very fatalistic in their approach to life, but very serious. Stoics, very serious, okay? And there's elements to that that I can appreciate. So they're kind of the polar opposites of the Epicureans, where they're like looking for pleasure, and so they're probably a little bit more, out there kind of a thing, where you got the Stoics who are just kind of like serious, just serious, very respectful and all this good stuff. These two philosophies are very prevalent within our world today. They're very prevalent within our world today, especially Stoicism. And I listen to several podcasts throughout the week while I'm working outside and mowing yards or whatever. And one of them that I listen to, The Art of Manliness, which is a great podcast. But every so often, there's guys that come on there, and they kind of fall in line with this Stoic kind of philosophy. And there's an appeal kind of for this, I think, for a lot of men, to be like a man of honor, a man of dignity, right? Which should be. However, we don't fall in line with the theological beliefs of Stoics, okay? So be honorable, be dignified, be respectful, take life seriously, but not too seriously. So that's who Paul's dealing with. You got two different groups of individuals, almost like a Pharisees and Sadducees kind of a scenario that he's talking to here in Athens. So he debates with these guys. Here's what's so fascinating about this. Paul is a brilliant man. He's a brilliant man, and he can have a conversation with anybody, regardless of what their intellectual level was. I mean, they could have, they could be off the charts on their IQ, and he could still engage them in conversation. So, again, Paul was a brilliant man, but one thing that we should never disqualify ourselves regarding is, I'm just not that smart, right? Because sometimes we think that of, what if I encounter somebody who is, so much more smarter than I am? You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And here's the number one reason why it does not matter. The Holy Spirit will give you the words you need in engaging people in conversations, especially when you're bringing it to the gospel. The Holy Spirit will provide you the words that you need. You do not need to worry about impressing people with what you know. You should be more concerned about who you know and the fact that they should know him, right? I've had conversations with people who are just through the roof, way smarter than I am. Completely. And they talk about stuff, and I'm like, I don't even know what you're saying. I have no idea. You might as well be speaking a foreign language to me because I'm not tracking with you. I have no clue. But it doesn't matter. You can still engage people, and regardless of intellectual levels and all that stuff, it does not matter. It doesn't matter. And you should never let that keep you from talking to anybody. Can you talk to university professors? Of course. Of course. Number one, just because they're there doesn't mean they're the smartest, all right? So let's never forget that. There's a whole system to picking profs in colleges and stuff. But you should never let it intimidate you. You should never let it keep you from sharing the gospel. If the Lord says, hey, go share the gospel with them, you can trust that if he's telling you to go and do that, he's probably going to direct that conversation how he would like it to go. They may ask you questions that are difficult, that you don't know the answer to. Please, Christians, tell them that you don't know the answer. It's okay. It is perfectly fine not to know stuff, even about what you believe in. Okay, but that just means you need to do your homework. That just means you need to try. You know, you need to dig into the word a little bit more, because they may bring up stuff that's like, oh man, I didn't know that that was a thing. I had no clue. I didn't know. I didn't know there were so many inaccuracies within the Bible, right? Because that's one thing. But so what do? You dig into it. You figure out why, where they're coming from. But you could say like, I don't know. Well, what about this? Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. But I'll find out. Let's meet again. Give me a week. Give me a few days. Let me do my homework, and then let's have coffee, you know, and then we'll meet, and I'll come, and I'll see if I can address your questions or your concerns. That's what the church needs to be doing. No more of this like, well, let me just talk a lot and see if that answer just maybe kind of comes out of my mouth miraculously. It might happen, but it's probably not going to, okay? So it's perfectly fine just saying like, I don't know. But you have to take the next step and say, but let me write that down and go do some research. And I'll find out for you. That's the best way. That's the best way to handle these things. Because for so long, the world has just thought that the church is just, for the most part, kind of arrogant in one sense, as if we have all the answers. Because sometimes we pretend like we have all the answers when in fact, we don't have all the answers. And we still struggle in this life, just like everybody else, and trying to figure out like, well, why is that like that? Do your homework. Be okay with not knowing everything. Because listen, none of us know everything. Seems like most of us in here have survived our teenage years, and we've discovered, hopefully, that well, I don't know hardly anything. The older I get, the more I realize I just don't know that much. I thought I did. Now I don't. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, oh well. But hey, if that brings us to a place of discovery, then do the work. Do the work. No, there's no room for laziness in Christianity. None. Do the work. Do the hard things. Hard thing is studying your Bible. Hard thing is approaching those questions and finding answers for those questions. And it may take you days, weeks, months, years. But do the work. Do the work. Be diligent. Be diligent in this. Paul's having the debate with these guys. And so he shares with them. It says there, the rest of verse 18, it says, when he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, this babbler, that's kind of a mocking term, okay? This isn't a compliment. This babbler has picked up on some strange ideas. Others said, he's pushing some foreign religion, okay? So Paul, in his debating with the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers, he is sharing with them about Jesus and his resurrection, okay? This was key for these guys because these guys, for them, the notion of resurrection was like, why in the world would you want to come back from the dead? Like everything material is evil. So if we resurrect from the dead, we come back and I'm in this body again. Well, this body is basically evil. So why would I want to come back into an evil body? That's kind of where they were at philosophically. Hope, the hopeless, hopeless,
red for the broken. How incredible to learn about the Holy Spirit and the faithfulness of the apostles within the early church. You've been listening to Bread for the Broken with Pastor James Grizzle. We're so glad that you joined us in this study through the book of Acts. If you'd like to listen to today's teaching again or hear more from Pastor James, feel free to visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the teachings tab. We'd also love to hear from you, so would you let us know how you've been blessed by Bread for the Broken? You can drop us a note through the contact page on our website. While you're visiting breadforthebroken.com, you'll also be able to learn more about the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Galveston. If you're ever in the Galveston area, we would love to have you visit. So for directions, service times, and to learn more about us, just visit breadforthebroken.com. We hope to see you soon. Until then, we encourage you to read ahead and to begin to study the book of Acts on your own. Although it may seem unrelatable because it took place thousands of years ago, that couldn't be further from the truth. God is still living and active today, and His Spirit is present and seeking those who believe.
And if you let him, God can do incredibly powerful things through you for the kingdom. So the question we'll leave you with today is, will you say yes to what God is doing? And will you trust in him to move today just as he did all of those years ago? There's still so much to learn from the book of Acts, but that's all the time we have for today. Join us again next time, right here on Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of you.